There's a group of men of advanced age who rise early every morning, put on their caps and work shirts, and ride the few miles each from his house to a restaurant where a big round table is waiting for them. It is a cherished place where these men, some great talkers, some quiet types, seek and find community, friendship, and, well, love.
Both love each other, but some of them we just like.
They've been coming here for years. There are other options in town for meetups, other round tables, many with their own groups of men and women, but they don't really bother with those.
We don't cheat.
No, we don't run around.
Because this place, it takes good care of them.
It's kind of like the old show on TV, Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And that means a lot.
What is this place? It's one of the Jasper, Alabama Jacks, a fast food chain serving up biscuits and fried chicken.
You're listening to Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells the stories of the changing American South. I'm Melissa Hall.
And I'm Mary Beth Lassiter.
When we talk about restaurants at SFA, we're almost always talking about,
writing about,
making films about independent restaurants, those places that reflect their owner, their chef, their community.
It's true. We could climb up on our soapbox and offer up fast food restaurant chains as the antithesis of community making.
And sure, most lack the personal touch of a chef or the placemaking potential of seasonal ingredients.
Because often the specificity inherent in community is rubbed out by corporate sameness.
But not always.
In this episode, reporter Irina Zhurov takes a seat at the round table in the Jasper, Alabama Jacks. There we'll learn how some fast food joints become very good at fostering community.
Irina has the story.
At 6 a.m., the winter light outside is still gauzy and uncommitted, but the round table at this Jack's right by the hospital in Jasper, Alabama, is already filling up. There's John Miller, a health inspector, who retired in 2006 and has been coming ever since.
So, how many years that is? I'm not dead yet.
Am I the oldest here?
Tell the truth, Bill.
Okay, I am 85.
That's Bill Doss, retired salesman and now funeral home worker. He's only been coming about 5 months. So even though he's the oldest, he's a newbie.
Bill, he's not from here. He doesn't have the same bloodlines we do. Most of us are kin, some form or fashion.
That's Dorman Grace, exaggerating a bit.
I'm 68 years old, so I'm still young, so I'm just practicing, watching these old farts.
Dorman is one of the few men here who's not retired.
I'm never going to be able to retire. I farm for a living.
Dorman's work as a farmer is a through line for the men's pestering. John and the others collect their receipts, which have rewards on them, and slide them across the table to Dorman.
The only reason that Dorman comes up here is to get these coupons so he can feed his wife without having to pay for it.
When we go out on a date, I bring her to Jackson, I get a free plate for her, and that's, you know, save money.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So.
We try to help the farmer out since he says he don't have any money.
Dorman doesn't mind the ribbing, though.
They can come in, they can make fun of me, make me feel better, lift me up, because if somebody's cutting up with you, they care about you.
They're about 10 men, and they have a lot in common. They're advanced age, of course. They're retired miners, power company workers, teachers, and yes, farmers, all of them white. They have met through their wives or grown up together or were brought here by now past friends. They've bought horses from each other and fixed each other's air conditioners and tutored each other's kids. They all attend church, though different ones, and they all come every morning to Jack's.
And this is the Romeo table.
That's R-O-M-E-O. It stands for?
Retired old men eating out.
It is such an ingrained part of their routines that Ricky Rhodes says they go a little stir crazy if they can't make it.
We had an ice storm, got a little snow, 3 weeks ago or so. It stayed in the house about 2 days. I told my wife that second day, I said, look, I said, just called me an ambulance, carried me to the hospital. What's wrong? I said, ain't nothing wrong, but if they can get me to the hospital, then I'll walk over to Jack's.
No one can pinpoint how this tradition began, but it's not entirely unique either. Many places, you'll see groups of older friends holding court in the local fast food joint. In fact, there are other groups around the country that call themselves Romeo, too. In Jasper, a small town of about 14,000 people, some 40 minutes northwest of Birmingham, just about every fast food place has its own group. Some are for city folks, Dorman explains. One group, which gathers at a chain that shall not be named, is a bit snooty, he jokes. This Jack's is for country folks. People started showing up here as soon as this Jack's was built, in 1983. Many have passed away, but new members inevitably come along, so the table is always full. And there's always something to talk about.
Somebody might come in and say, well, did you know, fill in the name, passed away yesterday or was an accident? And we'll say, well, yeah, I knew him or I knew his family or, and then we'll start talking about it.
That's John Miller, and this is Bud Lane.
After my wife passed away, I just started coming in here and sitting with these idiots. I mean, these guys. It's a good place to gather, you know. It's something to do, you know. It keeps my mind a little bit off things.
Here's Dorman Grace.
We tell a lot of stories from our lives and the country living, the way it used to be, the things that we're missing.
Probably the reason most of us are here, because our wives won't cook. Well, I tell it like it is, mine won't cook.
And that was Sherman Roberts. That part about the wives not cooking, that's facetious. Sherman isn't coming to Jack's just for breakfast. In fact, he doesn't really love the breakfast here. He prefers Jack's dinner.
I'll admit, I go to Hardee's. I like their biscuits.
So around 7 o'clock in the morning, he heads out. But others around the table have trays of food and hot coffee. Bill Doss gets 3 pancakes most mornings.
And I did not order sausage because my friend here, he supplies us with a fresh sausage.
That's right. They bring their own food into the restaurant to share with each other. Today, it's Ricky Rhodes sausage.
Fresh sausage. You want some of it? Yeah, if that come off of a big hog. I have one killed most time once a year. I'll get one. It's all fresh meat.
Everyone at the table digs in, but he also offers the meat to whoever comes through the door.
Do y'all eat sausage?
Yes, sir.
Right there, some fresh sausage, fresh off the hog. You're welcome to
it. Right?
It needs to be.
Can I get a piece?
You can get all you want.
I'm going to get one for me. Yeah.
The next day, Bud Lane brings honey from his hives. In spring, Sherman drives to Louisiana for strawberries and makes strawberry crumble for the group. In the summer, they share tomatoes from their gardens. On birthdays, there's cake. The wives come out for that. Beyond the jokes and the fresh sausage, though, the men show up here in search of something deeper. Fellowship.
What this does for me, and it's like church.
This is Dorman Grace, the farmer.
What I do for a living is stressful, because you're putting seeds in the ground, growing animals, and you don't know what you're going to have at the end of the year when harvest comes in. A lot of praying. And as folks say, well, you look like everything's all right. I said, well, you don't see the inside. And when you're here and you're laughing and eating and fellowshipping, I forget those things.
The levity at the table is something all of the men mention, how it alleviates the stress or the hurt from big problems they might be dealing with. As John Miller put it, you don't get too much serious talk around the table, but there are a lot of serious thoughts. When it's necessary, the men make room for the heavy stuff, too.
It's knowing that people, if they're having problems, they'll bring it up, whether it's health or whatever, and I need a prayer or whatever you can, and folks will pray for you. We have got around and put our hands on each other and prayed.
Dorman himself has been the recipient of this generosity.
On January the 12th, our little granddaughter was born preemie, 6 weeks early, and we didn't know what all was going on. They thought some things, and so and they prayed for our granddaughter.
The men check on each other if one fails to show up for a couple of days. They help with home repairs and drive those who can't manage to doctor's appointments and hospital visits. If a regular passes away, they chip in to buy a bouquet. If someone becomes seriously ill, they support him. Sherry Brown, one of the few women who's a regular at the round table along with her husband, Eddie, remembers how they showed up when Eddie had cancer.
We went to the cancer center out here for radiation, and I would circle through the drive-thru, and I'd think, man, I miss the friends at Jack's.
One day, she was waiting in the drive-thru line, and Sherman Roberts came running out.
Sherry, Sherry, I got something to give you. I said, oh, what? And they had bought us a Jack's card because they knew I was trying to take care of him. He couldn't eat. He was on a feeding tube. But all the people here contributed, and so I didn't have to pay for my meals for a long, long time. And I thought that was so thoughtful. They hadn't forgotten us.
As if on cue, Sherman Roberts, who'd left earlier to pick up biscuits at Hardee's, pokes his head back in.
Is that Sherman coming back?
Hope not.
Like a prophet, he delivers his message, and then he's gone again.
By now, you realize that this table is more than about the food. It's about the people that come every day.
Okay. See y'all.
Have a good trip, Sherman.
Thank you, Sherman. We'll leave your money tomorrow.
Yeah.
Community takes effort to nurture. It requires people to show up, to be consistent, steadfast. It requires people to believe in it.
That's the way I was raised, that you lived in the community, you supported the community, and you tried to make the community do better. And we want to keep doing that. And these men are like that.
For Dorman Grace, a part of supporting community is also choosing carefully where he spends his money.
Back when I was a kid, you went to town on Saturdays if you needed anything. We had a local grocery store, and then we'd buy all our clothes in town and still do business with folks that's been around for a while. And used to know all the business owners, which now we got the chains and stuff that's come in, and it's kind of busted up the community part.
But isn't Jack's, this place he comes every day, host to this treasured sense of community he cultivates, a chain? A faceless corporation that replaced the role of the local coffee shop? Well, it's kind of complicated.
When we come back, we'll hear why Jack's might be much more than just a chain muscling in on local community spaces. But first,
Gravy has some big news for Dolly Parton fans. Lodge Cast Iron has launched a new collection of Dolly Parton cast iron. Inspired by the one and only Tennessee icon, each of the four cookware pieces brings a bit of Dolly flair to your favorite Southern dishes. Just like Dolly, cast iron is made in Tennessee and loved all over the world. Made with just iron and oil, the naturally seasoned cooking surface on a Lodge pan is made to last for generations, so you'll never have to change your tune. Take home the new Lodge Cast Iron Dolly Parton collection and shop cookware born to perform at LodgeCastIron.com. For Lodge's longtime support of the Southern Foodways Alliance and this podcast, we thank them.
Picture a fast food restaurant. McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Jack's, whatever. What does it look like?
Often they have wide booths, wide pathways to travel, so it's easier if you navigate with a walker or a wheelchair.
They tend to have ramps and big bathrooms, and their menus are clear.
It's very easy font to read and see.
They're ubiquitous and they're affordable.
And generally viewed as a place where anyone can be for kind of a variety of reasons.
This is Jessica Finlay. She's an assistant professor at the University of Colorado Boulder in the Department of Geography and the Institute of Behavioral Science.
I'm interested in where people age and how it affects their health and well-being.
When she was in school, she started noticing older people congregating in her local fast food joints. She was passing through, but they were lingering. She started wondering, what role do these places play in older people's lives? More than a third of older Americans are socially isolated, which leads to poor health outcomes, including increased risk of dementia, depression, and heart disease. But here were older adults hanging out, laughing it up under the fluorescent lights of a Tim Hortons. So even though fast food has long been considered not good for our health, Jessica pondered whether fast food restaurants might have unexpected benefits.
These are the sites that support these everyday activities to get out the door, to feel connected, to be active.
So she began a research project interviewing people about how they use these spaces.
People talked about how important they were. They would say, I'm not going to a senior center. That's for old people. But let me tell you about the McDonald's that's nearby. We meet every day at this time. So people really talked about how meaningful they were.
This was especially true for men, says Jessica.
Older men tended to not have as many sites where they wanted to or felt comfortable kind of hanging out with each other. And so they liked the less age-graded spaces in their minds, given some internalized fears of aging, I think.
Jessica's research complicated how she viewed fast food restaurants.
It's not an urban planner's dream by any means, right? Like when I have my geography hat on, I don't envision neighborhoods with fast, like big chains. But I mean, I have to recognize that these are places that people are frequenting on an everyday basis, and they have, they are making them their own through their engagement in those. So it might look from the outside like every other place, but if you talk to the staff who work there, they'll tell you about their regulars that they've gotten to know, that group that is sitting at those tables over there every whatever day.
Jessica did much of her research in the Midwest, in Minnesota. Back at the Jasper Jacks, I thought about what Jessica said about the familiarity of fast food spaces, the way they feel navigable, accessible, affordable. Here in Alabama, Jack's has all of these things. The wide booths, clear menus, biscuits under $3. But it has another familiarity too, particularly for this Romeo crew. A kind of cultural branding. The company started in Alabama, and they want you to know it. The Jasper location has a wall with distressed wood and a welcome home sign in big red letters. There's a stone fireplace reminiscent of a living room. Many Jacks have rocking chairs out front, as if you're visiting a friend's porch, not a chain restaurant. Each Jacks has an in-house biscuit cook. About 5 years ago, Jacks started remodeling stores, including this Jasper location, with a new design. One thing they added was a window to the kitchen to better see the biscuit maker. They're leaning hard into their southernness. In fact, Jacks' catchphrase is all about the South. And employees wear shirts with that slogan or another, which reads, "We speak fluent, y'all."
But you know, that's what we're about, is the Southern hospitality.
This is Pamela Jo Light, longtime assistant manager of this Jack's. Corporate branding is one thing, but Southern hospitality also means something to Pam.
I guess it boils down to your crew. If your crew's good to them, you know, and has respect for them, because, you know, most of them are older.
She trains employees to be friendly and patient with the customers.
Make sure, you know, their orders are right. Make sure they have plenty of coffee, because they sit for a while and need their coffee.
She never rushes them out the door, never says anything about the food they bring in. When they sing gospel in the dining room, she kind of shrugs.
So that's interesting.
She knows they're repeat customers. And actually, most of the people who come through in the morning seem like regulars. Another woman in an All About the South shirt welcomes people by name as she wipes down tables. At the cash register, employees and customers exchange lengthy greetings. Part of it is small town niceties, but that personal touch, it's also cultivated. At the corporate level, yes, but also by the people who work here. The biscuit maker, Rose Marie Nixon, shouts out hellos from behind the new glass panel. She's got a little sign she's propped up on the glass, a piece of scripture written in her looped hand that reads, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." She changes it daily.
Me and my husband will always pray together before I come to work. And I'll be like, "Lord, give me something to write on the board today to inspire somebody. Let me be a blessing to someone. Anoint my hands. Let them be good biscuits."
Rose has worked here for 5 years. She comes in at 2:45 every morning and by her estimation makes thousands of biscuits per day. She rips open two bags of flour mixture, gets out the buttermilk.
Always shake your buttermilk.
She mixes the liquids and solids, then plops the dough on the counter.
Put a little flour on that roll. Palms up. And you roll. All the way up, all the way down.
Many of the Romeos mention Rose by name, how much they like seeing her in the mornings. She's gotten to know some of the Romeos, too.
I think it's Mr. Grace. He loved bacon and egg plates. And got one guy come in, like a dark brown sausage biscuit.
So you said a dark biscuit. Do you cook them different, depending on how they like them?
I do. I have one particular customer. Every time she come in, she always said, Miss Rose, can you cook me a freshly biscuit out the oven? Her name is Miss Cindy. I say, yes, ma'am, I have special. I know them by name. Yes, ma'am. And like Donnie, the black guy just come in, he always, I want four light biscuits, very, very light. But I'm like, I got you, Donnie, I got you.
Rose sets the biscuits in the oven.
So they cook for 10 minutes.
As she prepares the next tray, she keeps an eye on the line and peeks out at the round table in the dining room.
Sometimes I sit around, I be like, when I get older like that, I want to have my little girl group, you know.
Back at the round table, I ask the men to consider why they come here, why they feel so comfortable here. Some mention how it feels familiar and welcoming, but the most consistent answer is convenience. Isn't that the point of fast food? The convenience? This Jack's is a couple of minutes drive for just about everyone here. By showing up, though, they've cultivated relationships, not just with each other, but with the people who work here. Dorman Gray says that's what makes it different from just another chain for him.
I don't know the owner of Jack's, but I know the people that work here.
John Miller says the very fact that the Romeos hang out for so long transforms the place from a chain to something else.
It's not a fast food place to us, it's just a place to meet.
As the clock ticks towards 8, some of the men head out. The guys give John Miller a 5-minute warning.
I always kid about I got a curfew, I gotta be home at 8 o'clock. My wife will shoot me. She got her pistol a year or so ago.
A man walks in and does a brisk circumnavigation of the table, shaking each person's hand but never taking a seat. He does this every day. Dorman Grace is starting to check his phone to see what the day holds. New people are arriving, the next shift at this round table. One of the new people who takes a seat is Rick Allison, a retired judge who usually hangs out with another group at a mom-and-pop restaurant across town.
I'm just an honorary member. They let me come hang out every now and then.
The main difference between his usual spot and here?
This place is probably better to everybody because they let them bring in, they bring tomatoes, they'll bring stuff in. They never say a word.
Rick says at the mom and pop shop, bringing their own food or staying too long might not be welcome.
Probably hurt their business, you know, a little more than what this does.
It's almost like the corporate nature of the place makes it easier to paint with your own needs. Jack's are all company-owned. There are no local franchises. And it's no longer a little Alabama business. The chain has been owned by investment firms for years, first by one based in Toronto, Canada, and now one out of New York. Maybe it helps that the people counting profits aren't the ones behind the counter. Those who are behind the counter,
they just let them kind of have the place to themselves, really.
Rick sips a steaming coffee. The ballet of Romeos moves around the table. Alights, settles again. There are fresh biscuits, old friends. What else do you need?
Irina Zhurov reported and produced this episode. Irina is a triple threat, a photographer, a reporter who works both in audio and print, and a published novelist. Look for her book, Lost Believers, on the shelves of your local bookstore. She can be found chasing down stories about mining, food, agriculture, and the land and environment, and is a frequent contributor to Gravy.
Special thanks for this episode go to Philip Williams.
We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music. We also owe a huge thank you to Clay Jones and Broadcast Studios for recording and mixing Gravy.
Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Camp Milam. Olivia Terenzio is our podcast editor. Fact-checking comes courtesy of Heather Cole. My co-host, Mary Beth Lassiter, is our publisher.
Want to learn more about the changing American South? Visit us at southernfoodways.org. Read oral histories, watch films, or listen to this podcast. While you're there, become a member or make a donation. Your dollars fund our work and help us make more gravy. I'm Mary Beth Lassiter.
And I'm Melissa Hall. Excited to lap up another episode of Gravy? Tell a friend.
Pass the gravy boat. There is plenty to go around.
Gravy is proud to be a part of APT Podcast Studios.